Hey, everybody, welcome. Great to have you. Thanks for coming to be a part of Christ Community Chapel. Welcome all campuses and venues. If you're worshiping up in Aurora or down in Highland Square at Restoration Chapel or just tuning in, welcome. Most of you know that we exist for a reason here at Christ Community Chapel. We have a purpose statement. We exist to help people come to know Jesus and then grow in your relationship with Jesus and then serve him daily. And we love helping people grow, and we love helping people find a place where they can serve so they can experience the joy of serving. But more than anything, we love it when people come into a relationship with Jesus for the very first time. Because the Bible says that when that happens, all of heaven rejoices because someone who is lost has been found. For years, we would have a vase up here, and every time someone would come to Christ, we would put a rose in that vase to commemorate that week. And we're going to change that here at the Hudson campus. We have asked our visual arts ministry, door number two, to create a stained glass window, and they made two out in the atrium. And now, from now on, every time someone comes to faith in Jesus, we're going to put a leaf on that window, on that tree of life. And each leaf will have etched initials in it. And so at the end of every month, or every month, we will put all the leaves up of the people who have come to Christ that month. And so this month, we are adding 44 leaves to the tree to commemorate the lives. Yeah, that's awesome. So you can take a look at that on your way out. It's very, very cool. All right, and this is the time of year where we are blanketing this area with 10,000 acts of random kindness and generosity. We do this every year to try to raise kind of the temperature of this area and just surprise people with an act of kindness. And then we give them a Just Because card, and they can go ahead and tell us their story if they want. And so every week I get to read you some stories. I was just going to read you one because we had a great story, but I got to read you two. So, all right, here they are. It says, where do I even start? This is such an amazing movement. I'm a foster mom to two beautiful five-month-old twin boys. Let me read that again. I'm a foster mom to two beautiful five-month-old twin boys. I stopped to get a soda and hash brown at McDonald's in Stowe yesterday morning before heading to Akron Children's Hospital for a couple appointments for the boys. I fumbled for some change in my purse while simultaneously trying to comfort the twins who were screaming from the back of the car. The only thing going through my mind was, so I guess this is how our day is going to go. I pulled up to the window to pay, and the cashier said the person in front of me paid for my order and asked her to give me this card. My eyes filled up with tears. It was as if this kind stranger had hit a reset button on my day. What a beautiful reminder of all the good in this world. All of my frustrations and fears of the anticipated long and stressful day ahead of us melted away. I cannot thank this person enough. Just know that you made a difference to me and you brought such happiness to my day. God bless you and thank you. Hashtag just because card. Hashtag random act of kindness. Very cool. All right. Yeah, you can go ahead and clap. That's good. There's no way that they knew that that person behind them at McDonald's was a woman with two foster care twins. Anyway, this one says, it's not just one of those days. It's one of those weeks, those months, those years. Usually I'm super stressed all day, every day, just trying to figure out our way through this. Today, since my husband was having surgery, he's been sick for over 5 years now. I decided to give all the worry up for one day and just focus on getting him home safely. A lot went wrong, it still is, but in the middle of the chaos, a kind stranger paid for my groceries at Walmart. To some, it may not have been much, maybe $20 or $30, but to us right now, that's everything. I don't know if she even knows how much she did, how much every dollar was a blessing. Today, I just couldn't worry about money, and because of her, I didn't have to. I am so thankful. I will pay it forward as soon as possible, sending prayers of thanks to God and this kind stranger doing his work. Thank you all for your part in this program. All right. Great, great stuff. Don't forget. Go ahead. You never know what you're going to do, what kind of prayers you're going to answer, and what kind of light you're going to bring in the midst of darkness. All right? All right, we have a theme this year. Our theme this year has been Thy Kingdom Come. And we're right at the end of the year, and this series is responding to the King. And we've been looking at the people in the original story of the birth of Jesus to see how they responded to the birth of the King. The first week we looked at the Magi and how for all their great learning, they still felt they were missing something. So they embarked on this huge journey that got them close, and then they had to look in Scripture to actually find Jesus. And when they found him, they worshiped him. And then last week, we looked at King Herod, who had a completely opposite reaction than the Magi. But I always think that King Herod had it at least half right, which is half more than most people. What I mean by that is Herod realized that Jesus was more than just a baby. Jesus was more than just a good moral teacher. Jesus was more than just an example to follow. That Jesus, if he was anything at all, was king. And Herod wanted no part of it. I think when I say that Herod had it half right, most people don't even have that much. I think most people think that Jesus is kind of an add-on. That you got a good job and a good family and a little bit of Jesus and all is good. But if Jesus isn't king, he is nothing at all. And Herod got that. And this week we look at the shepherds. And the shepherds, their story is found in Luke chapter 2. And let me read it for you. I'm going to read verses 8 through 14. Very, very familiar story. Familiar mostly from Linus reading it in Charlie Brown Christmas. But this is what it says. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Okay, this is God's word, and it's true. All right, 3 points. Why the shepherds? Why such great fear? And why 4 words changed everything? Why the shepherds? Why such great fear? And why 4 words changed everything? First, why the shepherds? There are a lot of interesting theories about who these shepherds were. The most popular and probably the most probable is that they were shepherds keeping watch over the Passover flock. Every year, pilgrims would stream into Jerusalem for Passover, and each group, each family needed a lamb to celebrate Passover, and that meant there needed to be thousands upon thousands of lambs available. So it would make sense that a place as close to Jerusalem as Bethlehem, which is only about 6 miles away, would have in those surrounding fields these huge flocks of sheep that were Passover sheep used for Passover lambs. And that could very well be true, but I don't think that's why the angels appeared to the shepherds. I think the angels appeared to the shepherds because they were regular people. They were just normal people. They weren't wise like the Magi. They weren't powerful like Herod. They were just working stiffs who worked long hours, struggled to pay their bills, worried about some of the same stuff that you might worry about how to raise their kids, about how to keep their marriages together, how to pay their medical bills. And they were just normal people. They weren't very religious. They probably didn't go to church. We know that much about shepherds. Which means they weren't out in the field thinking about God or praying or reading the Bible. They were probably smoking cigarettes and telling dirty jokes. Probably. The biggest surprise about the shepherds was not who they were, but who they weren't. It's not like God had, you know, a limited number of golden tickets like Willy Wonka, and he gave one to the Magi and one to Herod, and then one slipped out of his big God pocket and went to the shepherds. God could have told anybody he wanted. And when I say the biggest surprise is who the shepherds weren't, is Jerusalem was a stone's throw away, and Jerusalem was full of important people, not the least of which were some really good clergy. Right? Not all the clergy were bad in Jerusalem, just like not all the clergy are bad around here. Right? So there are people that spent their lives reading Scripture, praying, worshiping, longing for God to show himself. At the end of Luke chapter 2, we meet Anna and Simeon, two of those people. But God didn't send the angels to them. If God was going to do something big around here right now, and he was going to invite somebody from this church, who do you think he'd invite? Me. Come on. I think me. Don't you? I mean, that just makes sense. If not me, then maybe one of the other pastors or an elder or somebody like that. But would it really be somebody who comes maybe once a month, who isn't involved, who doesn't go to community group, never served, never gives any money? If that describes you, and it might, you're like a shepherd. That means, out of all the people, God came for you. God came for you. And that's the price of admission right now, right here. So God sends these angels to these shepherds. And I can only imagine, like, after the whole light show fades away and they head towards Bethlehem to try to do what the angel said, which is to find this child, I think one of them might have turned to another and said, did the angel say a manger, like a stable? They could have gone, I got six kids. None of them were born. I'm not a rich man. But none of my kids was born in a stable. I don't know anybody who made their wife give birth in a barn. You ever seen the show Undercover Boss? I love that show. It's like a CEO or an owner of a company goes and works and with, you know, the CEO or the owner of the company will go and they'll work with the people who are at a lower level, like driving a forklift or doing whatever. And I like it because then he finally reveals himself, or she reveals herself as the boss. But I love that show. This is the ultimate undercover boss. God is giving this show to the shepherds, and he's communicating to them, this one is born your king, but he's also one of you. He's just like you. One of the most amazing verses in the whole Bible is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, where the author to the Hebrews says simply, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has in every respect been tempted just as we are, yet without sin. Amazing. So God chooses the shepherds because they're just normal people, to let them know that a king has been born for them who is one of them. And if all that's true, then why such great fear? Because verse 9 says this, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Great fear. In Linus's edition, the King James Version, he says, the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The Greek, the original Greek, uses the word phobia, which we use still today, to describe something that is a real, deep fear. Only in the Greek text that uses it twice, phobias, phobia, fear, fear, which I was thinking about the shepherds. You know, they're out there at night keeping watch over this flock. What does that mean? They're protecting the flock. From what? I'll tell you this, anything that can eat a sheep is scary to me. Anything that can actually eat a sheep, drag it off, and eat it. So the shepherds, they understood what fear was. They had felt fear before, but they had never felt fear, fear. This is a word to describe terror. A couple of them might have thrown up that night in the midst of all that was going on because they were so afraid. What made them so afraid? Well, verse 9 says it. Verse 9, it says, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. The glory of the Lord shone around them. Why would the glory of the Lord not make them feel love? Or not make them feel warm or in awe? Why would it be terrifying? Absolutely terrifying. You know, the first time fear entered this world was because of the glory of the Lord. You probably didn't know that. In Genesis chapter 3, it says that Adam and Eve used to spend time with God. The glory of the Lord is God's, his perfection, his holiness, his goodness, his truth. It is his light. It is everything about God that just flows out of his being. And it says that Adam and Eve would spend time with God. And then when Genesis chapter 3, when they sinned, Adam and Eve hid. And God came walking in the Garden of Eden, and he called out to Adam, "Where are you?" And Adam said, "I'm hiding." And God said, "Why? Why are you hiding?" And he said, "I heard you walking, and I was afraid." First time fear ever entered the world. That was before there was anything else to be afraid of. Adam and Eve had never experienced fear in their life. They never had been afraid of a wolf or a lion or a tiger or a bear. Oh my, they had never been afraid of a disease, of cancer, of being alone, of death. Nothing that you are afraid of, nothing that I have ever been afraid of, had entered the world until that moment. And after that moment, fear became a common thing for every single one of us. They experienced great fear because the glory of the Lord does two things. It shows us who God is or what God is like, and it shows us what we are like. And it does it in that order. When I say the glory of the Lord, that Adam and Eve didn't mind walking with God in his perfection, in his goodness, in his beauty, in his holiness, in the midst of his truth, when they had nothing to hide. They didn't even think about it. They just enjoyed his presence and enjoyed being with them. But once they sinned, then they were afraid. Because perfection exposes imperfection. Goodness exposes badness. Holiness exposes that which is not holy. Truth exposes lie, and light exposes darkness. You know, right now, in our world, in our country, there's all these sex scandals happening. And there are a bunch of men, probably, right now, who are afraid. And they're afraid because what was done in darkness could have light shone on it at any moment, and they could be exposed, not for who they aren't, but for who they are. Because that's what light does. So that's what exposes people. And I just think that what happened here with the glory of the Lord, that's just, the stuff with sex scandals just shows a little bit of a person. But what would it be like if the glory of the Lord showed every single thing about you? All your imperfection, all your sin, all your darkness, everything was exposed. What would it feel like? And when I say that truth exposes lie, it's not just the lies that we tell about other people or the lies we tell about ourselves to other people. Truth exposes the lies we tell ourselves about ourselves, which are usually the most deadly lies. I've mentioned this before, but there was a show back in like 2008, 2009. It was called The Moment of Truth. And it was a show where they would hook contestants up. It only lasted like 12 or 15 episodes. They took it off the air because it was so damaging. But what they would do, they would take contestants, they would hook them up to a polygraph. And they would ask them a series of 21 questions. And if you answered all 21 questions without having the polygraph go off, like a buzz, then you would win $100,000. And the contestants would think, piece of cake. I can be honest about anything for 21 questions, and then I'll win $100,000. And the shows I watched, no one ever did it. But I remember one show where this woman, she was determined that she was going to answer all the questions honestly. And I can only imagine that she met with her family and just said, hey, there's probably going to be some stuff that comes out. We're going to hang together because it's going to be okay. We're going to get $100,000. Because they would do enough research into the person that they would know where to begin to try to expose them. So during this woman's questioning, she answered a question. She ended up admitting that she stole from her boss, he was in the crowd. And then she admitted that she cheated on her husband, which was the first time her husband had heard about it. And her family was in like a little pit, like right here. And the camera showed her family, and they just had their faces in their hands. And you could just kind of feel people just, the lives just shattering around. And then the $50,000 question was this: are you a good person? Brilliant question. Brilliant question. Because I was watching that night, and I laughed at first because I thought that was an easy question. Because I wanted to go, no, of course you're not a good person, right? I was shouting at the TV, no, right? You know what she said? Yes, I'm a good person. And boom, the polygraph went off. She had lied. She had told herself a lie. She had told herself over and over and over again, the same lie you tell about yourself. To yourself, I'm a good person. The glory of the Lord shone round the shepherds, and they were afraid. Because for the first time, they saw themselves as they really were, and they couldn't lie about themselves to themselves anymore. And then the angel spoke. And that brings us to the third great point, which is why four words changed everything. And this is what happened. Verse 10, and the angel said to them, fear not, for behold. Fear not, for behold. Four words. I love those four words. What the angel's saying is, you don't have to be afraid. Look, I'm going to show you something. I'm going to tell you something, and it will take your fear away. I was thinking about this. I have two daughters that I helped raise, at least in part, with my wife. Well, she did most of the heavy lifting. I would get involved in different times, and if you're a dad, you know this, that if you've ever parented a teenage daughter, you know there's at least one time in their lives where they're sobbing in their room. I say one time. It's more than that. But one time when their heart is just broken and they feel like it'll never be right, it'll never be okay. And as a dad, I would go in and my daughter would say, it's not going to be okay. No one's ever going to love me. It's never going to work out. And I always think it would be great to have like an iPad like this that would be like a magical iPad that I could take to her And at that time, show her and say, hey, I'm going to show you just a video. And it's a video of your life 20 years from now. And then show her the video and say, see that guy? He's the perfect guy for you. He's your husband. Do you see that? This is what's going on. This is what's going to be in your life. And if she would believe me, then through her tears, she would begin to laugh. And all of her fear would be swallowed up with a deeper joy. Right? And what I would be saying is, honey, you don't have to be afraid. Fear not. For behold, behold. That's what the angels did. The angel said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all the people. And then verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. So what the angel is doing, the angel is saying, oh, listen, I'm going to show you something. You don't have to be afraid anymore. And then the angel basically tells the shepherds the gospel. He says, this one who is born is a Savior for you. Which means that this one who is born, Jesus, is going to grow up. He's going to live the life you should have lived. He's going to die the death you deserve to die. He's going to give you his life for your life. So he'll exchange lives with you. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So what the angel's saying is, listen, I'm going to take you back. This one has the power to take you back to before when Adam and Eve would walk with God and the glory of the Lord shone around them and it did not terrify them. Instead, it filled them with joy. That's what I have for you. Then I was thinking, though, all these shepherds, before the angels showed up, they had all these other fears. The same fears that you have, the same fears that I have sometimes. Fears of loneliness, fear of loss, fear of cancer, fear of pain, fear of death, fear of all those things, right? And I was thinking, the angel didn't come to them and say, oh, listen, I'll take care of the big fear, but none of the little fears. But the angel comes and says, listen, you don't have to be afraid of anything anymore. You know why the angel could say that to them? It's like the angel, going back to that, your teenage daughter, it'd be great to have one of these to show your teenage daughter what life would be like 10, 20 years from now. For the angel was taking the shepherds and saying, I'm not going to show you what your life will be like 10 or 20 years from now. I'm going to show you what life will be like for you 1,000 years, 10,000 years from now. Can you see? You don't have to be afraid of anything. For behold, and if the shepherds really believed them, then they would wipe the tears from their eyes and they'd begin to laugh because their deep fear would be swallowed up by a deeper joy. This is what I want you to remember. I mean, from right now all the way through next week and then towards next year, especially if you're going through a difficult time. This is what I want you to remember. These are two things I want you to be repeating to yourself. First one is this. If you are afraid, you're not beholding. And if you are beholding, you won't be afraid. If you are afraid, you are not beholding. If you are afraid of whatever you're afraid of, it's because you're not taking the time to see that this one who was born in a manger is a Savior who is Christ the Lord for you. And it's not just that he catapults you back before sin so the glory of the Lord shown around you will not fill you with terror, but it's also that he swallows up every other fear because it's showing you what life will be like not a year from now, not 10 years from now, but 1,000 years from now. And if you're beholding that, then you won't be afraid. So why the shepherds? Because the shepherds were normal people just like you, just like me. Why such great fear? Because the glory of the Lord shows us who God is, but shows us who we are. Absolutely and completely exposes everything about us. why four words changes everything? Because those four words are fear not, for behold, unto you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Which is why the shepherd or the angels end by crying out, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Because the opposite of fear is peace. So peace to you. Fear not. For behold. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you. And you are the one who was born for us, as one of us, to live the life that we could not live, did not live, would not live, so that we could have what you have now. Thanks for your death, your resurrection, and the life that you give. Thanks that you allow us to now behold the glory of the Lord and have it fill us with joy and not fear. I pray for everyone right here who is experiencing fear in one way or another. I pray that you'll give them peace. Thanks. Thanks for your deep grace. We pray this in your name. Amen.